prayer and out of continued interest in your prayers this morning as I come before you. The song that we opened with, "To Thy Temple We Prepare," that has a lot to do with what's on our mind this morning, is preparation for worship. Now, worship can be spontaneous. You know, something good may happen in your life, and you're just thanking the Lord so much, and you're just bubbling over with joy. But when we come to this house, anytime we come to meet together, we should prepare. There should be some work. There should be some preparation before we enter the door. You know, we think oftentimes as the preacher comes, he's been studying and preparing, and which we know our pastor does study and he prays for it, and he does some preparation. But as for us in the congregation, we're sitting there. We're not just sitting there just to fill up a pew. It's our duty to prepare our hearts, prepare our minds. We need to get ready. You know, we have preparation for everything we do. You get up in the morning, you brush your teeth, you take a shower, whatever your routine is in the morning, and, you know, you get dressed and you go to work or go to school. There's preparation for that. Why should coming to the house of the Lord be any different? Now, I understand, I appreciate everybody here smells good and has clothes, and I appreciate that, but there needs to be some spiritual preparation for us to receive that spiritual food. For us to receive the natural blessings of the table, the food has to be prepared. And for us to receive it, we have to partake of it. But this spiritual food is different. Sometimes our mind is a little clogged. Sometimes we have too much on our mind, sometimes we have too much of the cares of the world that's filling us up, then we come here, then we miss out on blessings. We miss what's being taught. And again, that goes with preparing to come to worship. It's like, to thy temple we prepare, we repair. Lord, we love to worship there. Now, we love to worship the Lord. And he's worthy of it, isn't he? He's been so good to us. There shouldn't be any reason we shouldn't. I got a couple of thoughts on my mind this morning. And once again, I ask for your interest in your prayers. If you would, turn to Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6, we read in Ephesians chapter 6, in the 11th verse, "Put on the whole armor of God." Now, we don't physically have helmets and shields and belts and everything and pick up a sword to go to work every morning. Now, some soldiers, they do have armor that they have to wear, but this is a spiritual armor for spiritual warfare. And there is warfare going on. We're bombarded every day, every minute of the day. You know, it doesn't matter. You're just scrolling through Facebook and you see something, somebody's posted some trash on there, and it's just, you know, it's right there. It's readily available. But it says to put on the whole armor of God that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Now, one part of this armor we see is the breastplate of righteousness and the feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Preparation. There's that word again. Prepare. Preparation. Of the gospel of peace. Now, how can we prepare ourselves to face these spiritual battles every day? Well, there has to be some preparation. We need to be reading the word. We need to take heed to what God has been teaching us. Now, the Lord has never audibly spoken to me personally. But brothers and sisters, he speaks through his word. His word has already been spoken. It's right here. It's in our language. It's pinned down. It's readily available. We don't have to wonder where it's at. We don't have to wait and go to a temple to have someone read it to us. It's there. We can pick it up. I have it on my phone. Never in the history of mankind has the Word of God been so readily available, and oftentimes it's left. Oftentimes we don't take the time to read it. We don't take the time. We just don't have time for that. I'm sorry, y'all, but I'm guilty of that myself. And I hate that. But in order for us to be prepared, we must read. We must see. We must pray. God, please help me this day. And that's where I'd like to start with, is preparing for worship. We need to seek God first. One of the things we can do to prepare ourselves is pray. I urge you every morning that you wake up, before you do anything, before you reach for that first cup of coffee, I know it's kind of tough sometimes, but just pray. It doesn't have to be long. It doesn't have to be lengthy, you know. Just, dear Lord, thank you so much for another day. And thank you for all the blessings that thou hast bestowed upon me. Because he has blessed us. Not a single person out here can say that God hasn't blessed them. Every time you draw in a breath, that's a blessing. So preparing to worship, we need to seek God first. And the Lord said in his word, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And all these things shall be added to you. Now it didn't say seek ye only. The Lord knows that we have things to do. We have families to take care of. We have jobs to go to, school. We have other things that we have to take care of. Now, if it said to seek ye only the kingdom of God, then, well, we wouldn't have jobs or anything like that. But it says seek ye first. Now, like I said, when you wake up in the morning, first thing, seek ye first the kingdom of God. I tell you, I can tell you from my experiences, that when I have taking the time in the right mindset, pray to God early in the morning, spend a little time with his word, I tell you that my day is just so much better. You know, it could be a rough day. It could be a long day. There could be a lot of things happen during that day. But you know what? I'm in that mindset. I'm in a better mindset to take things. This is why it says, put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Paul said, put on the whole armor of God. He didn't say if you put on the armor of God, you'll never have any problems. Because the Lord had said, in this world you shall have tribulations. That is our Lord and Savior telling us that we will have tribulations. It's going to happen. Things are going to happen. Things are going to happen. They're going to arise. They're going to cause us grief. They're going to cause us problems. But he said, be of good cheer. Be of good cheer. Now, how can we be of good cheer when we're getting all the stuff thrown upon us? But be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world. He's already overcome it. There's nothing that's going to come between us. There's nothing that's going to come between the God and us. He has us. It's secure. But we can leave God behind. We can grow cold. We can distance ourselves by putting this word aside, not paying attention to it, not giving it the time that it deserves, not reading about it, not listening, not coming to church very often. We can distance ourselves. And that's a problem. Not so much as just people might think that you're growing cold towards them or whatever, but if we distance ourselves from God, we distance ourselves from that joy, that fellowship we have with the Lord. His help is readily available. All we need to ask. So seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Now that's not just a saying. Brothers and sisters, I like to think of that as a promise. And that is one that you can count on. Because the Lord himself had made that promise. We here on earth, we make promises, we try to keep them, and sometimes, well, we just can't. That's not a problem with God. It's not a problem for him at all. But as we prepare for worship, seek God first, we pray. And Matthew chapter 6, turn to that real quick so I can't quote it. I should be able to by now, but I'm human. In Matthew chapter 6, verse 5, this is what we consider, well, what is commonly known as the model prayer, or the Lord's Prayer. Matthew 6, verse 5, "And when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites, and for their love to pray, standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward." It's not so much that we should just pray. It's you have to pray in the right manner. Again, it's preparation. Where's your heart? Where's our mind? If you pray as the Pharisees go up to the middle of the temple and say, "Lord, I thank thee that I'm not like these others." Well, sorry, but that's not the right mindset to have. We're to be like that publican who couldn't even lift his eyes up to heaven but smote upon his breast and say, "Lord, forgive a sinner as me." He goes on, "But thou, when thou prayest, enter thy closet, and when thou hast shut the door, pray to the Father, which is in secret. And thy Father, which is in secret, shall reward thee openly." And let's skip on down to verse 9. "After this manner, therefore, pray ye, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name." Hallowed be thy name. As far as I know, that's the only time that word hallowed is used. It's in reference to our Heavenly Father. And that's another thing about mindset, being prepared to worship. He's our Heavenly Father. Yes, He's our Heavenly Father, but we should have that reverence to God. You know, I know some people have, you know, good intentions and everything, but it bothers me when I hear that phrase, "the man upstairs." You know, there should be a reverence for God, a fear of God. Not that He's just going to, you know, not fear like we would fear an attacker or something like that, but have that reverence, a fear of God. He is our Heavenly Father. "But our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread." Did anybody have to skip a meal this morning? Well, if you did, it's probably because of choice or ran out of time or something like that, but not because food was not available. You know, Lord has been very merciful, been great, very gracious to us. In this country where, you know, we have so many liberties, we have so many freedoms, we have everything just right at our fingertips. And that's how God would bless us. He blessed the children of Israel to go into the land of Canaan. It flowed with milk and honey. You know, there was just so much things. They didn't have to do anything. They didn't have vineyards to plant. They didn't have to do anything to establish. It was already there. That's how God blesses. "Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen." Now, if you can quote that by, you know, if you have it in heart and you can quote it, no problem, great. Now, I'm not saying that, you know, every morning that you wake up, you have to recite this, and we're not trying to say this is you have to say this prayer every single day that you live. No, it's we like to say it's the Lord's Prayer. He says, pray in this manner. You know, pray with a reverence to God, thanking Him for His blessings. Ask for His help. And remember that He is the King of power and glory. And another thing we should always pray for is help us, Lord, pray for wisdom. Is there anybody out there that couldn't use any more wisdom? I know I could use plenty. I still make mistakes, and I'm going to make mistakes. But the one that never made a mistake is the good Lord, and I know that He is willing to help us. We just have to ask. But after we have sought out God, seek God first and pray in the morning, we have to prepare our hearts, prepare our minds. Before we enter those doors, we need to have that prepared mind, that prepared heart. Like in the parable of the sower, you know, the sower came a sower and he sowed seed. And some fell by the wayside. Some fell upon thorns. But that seed that fell on that good ground, that ground that had been tilled, that ground that had been prepared for that seed, that's the seed that sprang up. That's the seed that brought forth plentifully, that brought forth the fruit. A lot of times, if we come in here, we have so many troubles on our mind. We have a lot of things like so-and-so said this, and or things that we had to do at work, or we got everything just clogging up our mind. We're not going to hear as much. We're not going to receive as much that's being sowed, if you will. It'll be just like the seed that fell upon the thorns. You may get a little bit and it spring up really fast, but the thorns are there. Those cares and troubles of the world are there to choke it out. You're not going to receive much blessing of that. And if we have not prepared our minds, we've not prepared our hearts, that could be like the seed that fell upon the wayside. That stony ground, there's nothing it can do, and the birds come by and snatch it away. The old devil's real good about snatching our blessings away from us. I tell you, I have been in church meetings where it just seems like the angels are singing with us, and amen, the preaching is just marvelous. Just you feel like you're just above the ground, and you're shouting happy. And you get in your car, and you get to pull it out. Next thing you know, somebody cuts you off. Whoops. It can happen real fast, and it often does. But that's the part about that preparation. If we prepare our hearts, I'm not saying that somebody's not going to cut you off. They probably will. You know, it doesn't matter where you drive. Somebody's going to do it. Somebody's going to, you know, make you mad in traffic or whatever. But if we have that mindset, if we have that tender heart, and we're thinking upon the good things of God, it's not going to bother you as much. You know, okay, they, you know, I'm driving too, but okay, whatever, you know, go on home. One of those things that we're, you know, the Lord said we'll have tribulations. There's always going to be something that's going to happen. There's always things that's going to pop up. But that's why it's so important for us to have a prepared mind, that mindset that's always thinking about God. And if you put a priority on reading this word on a daily basis, if you have that where you're reading it and you're meditating upon it all the time, you know, you don't necessarily have to sit there and read the Bible, you know, when you're walking around doing your daily work or something like that. That's going to be distracting. But, you know, you can read a couple of scriptures, a couple of passages, and just kind of mull them around in your mind, have them in the back of your mind, think about them throughout the day. And you can have a prayerful attitude as you go about your day. And that's write it upon your heart, and that's that tender heart, that seed that you hear the preacher preach, or that word that you read that day, it'll find a lodging place, you know, and it can start to grow. And you actually get some benefit from that. It'll help you throughout your day. Excuse me. But as the sower, the seed, that ground that was prepared, that's the fruit that grew. That's the fruit that we got. You got something from it. You know, all the others, you know, they either didn't have any root and the sun scorched it, thorns choked it out, or the birds came by and took it away. That's why it's so important to prepare, not only before we come through these doors to worship, but for reading. Pray in the morning, Lord, bless me this morning, you know, as I attempt to read your word. You know, you may be reading and something, you may be following a schedule, but something back there kicks in your mind. You turn over and you read this passage of scripture that you're very familiar with, but there's something different about it. I like the analogy that Elder Sonny Pyle said about the gospel. The gospel of truth is like a diamond. The light hits it and you see the beauty of it. But if you turn that diamond just a little bit, it's the same diamond, but you see it a different beauty. You see it in a different light. And that's how this word is. You can read something over and over and over again for 20 years or something, and then that 21st year, it might have a little different meaning to you. Something else might stick with you. But brothers and sisters, if we don't prepare ourselves, if we're not in the right mindset, we can read this book until we die and not get anything from it. And that's another thing. If you do have a schedule, that's great. But don't just read just so you can check boxes off. Because that's another thing. You're not going to get anything from it. Because just checking boxes off, that's not being prepared. But the next step to preparation. Now, this is just, you know, something that I've been thinking on and the Lord's put upon my heart that I believe, and you don't have to necessarily follow this step by step or whatever, and there's so much more that I could touch on, but I just don't have the time nor the experience of mind to talk about everything. But this is what I believe the Lord has put upon my heart, that, you know, after we wake up and we pray and we try to get our mind right and we try to get our heart right, then it's time to wait. You know, we shouldn't just wake up, Lord, please help me today, boom, gone out the door. Wait. Meditate a little bit. Let that word that you've read, think about it for a little bit. You know, like a cow chews the cud or whatever. You know, maybe we can just sit there and chew on it a little bit. Let our mind think about it. And sometimes the Lord will reveal something else to you. Sometimes if you're praying and you're wanting him to answer, and you say, well, he's never answered me. Well, have you listened? Have you taken the time to listen? Like I said, the Lord has never audibly spoken to me. But I have had times where I've had prayers that were answered real quick, and then I've had some that have been answered later on, and they come when I'm least expecting them. This whole time about wait upon the Lord. We're not just supposed to be just sitting around waiting and hoping that, you know, something happens. It's waiting upon the Lord, like a waiter waits upon you at the table. You know, you're supposed to be diligently looking, see if there's something that you need or whatever. And the Lord will give you things to do. And that's another thing that I've had experience with, that if you ask the Lord, please, dear Lord, let me help someone today, that's one of the fastest ones he'll answer real quick. But wait, meditate, read the word, and think about it a little bit. You know, I know we have busy lives. I know sometimes there's just so much going on. But we should try to take a little time. And I think Daddy was saying If you got just 5 minutes a day, let's try to read 5 minutes a day. You know, if that's all you can do, well, I think you're a little too busy, but, you know, if that's all you can do, let's start with that. You got to start somewhere. But it's very important. This word is extremely important. I tell you, the Bible, the words may have been penned down thousands of years ago, but it's just as timely today as it was back then. There is nothing that you're going through now that you can't find an answer for or how to deal with it in this book. No, it doesn't tell you that you need to get such and such percent for your mortgage, but it does tell you to pray, seek God for wisdom, and I'm telling you, He can bless with that, even that, even something like that. And over in Hebrews, it says that God will reward them that diligently seek Him. You know, if we're just casually opening the Bible every so often, reading, you know, the 28th Psalm, 23rd Psalm, you know, close it real fast and throw it over there and let dust collect on it till you buff it off again and read something else. That's not much of a diligently seeking, is it? We should be diligent in our seeking of God. And the Lord made mention of that when He said, seek ye first the kingdom of God. Now back to our worship aspect. When we come and we meet together here in this building, you know, we love to see one another. We love to shake each other's hand, hug each other's neck, and love to see you. Good to see you, brother. Good to see you, sister. I'm so happy to be here. It's a lovely time to be with God's people, because that is somebody that you know is the same like precious faith. You know, you meet people out, you meet nice people out in town, you know, it's good to talk to them and stuff like that. I mean, can you point your finger and say, I know they're a child of God? Well, you can see evidence. And it's wonderful when you just meet a random stranger and you can just see the evidence right then and there. They may never even tell you or anything that they believe the Bible or anything. You may not even have a spiritual conversation, but you see that evidence in them. And that's one of those things, like I said, that like precious faith. We're drawn to one another. We want to be with one another. And the Lord knew what He was doing when He set up His church, because He knew that we needed one another. You know, we have a church member that's down. We should do everything we can do to help them. You know, if you're feeling down, still come to church. There may be somebody that's just bubbling over with happiness that could help you out of that ditch. But after we have prayed, sought God out, seek first the kingdom of God, prayed, we've read a little bit, we've prepared our mind, we've prepared our heart to come to church, what is the one thing, what's the first thing we do when we get here? We want to praise the Lord. We want to sing His praise. And I tell you what, if you understand what the Lord has done for you, if you know what He has blessed you with, if it, like I said, if your heart is touched and tendered with His mercy, with His grace, then you won't have any problem at all praising His name. Amen? I like, there's several psalms that have this phrase, make a joyful noise. But I like to start, turn to Psalm 98. Excuse me. Psalm 98. Oh, sing unto the Lord a new song, for He hath done marvelous things. His right hand and His holy arm hath gotten Him the victory. Amen to that. We know there is victory in the Lord. Amen. Verse 2. The Lord hath made known His salvation. His righteousness hath He openly shewed in the sight of His heaven, of the heathen. Excuse me. And He hath remembered His mercy and His truth toward the house of Israel, and all the ends of the earth have seen the salvation of our God. Amen. And verse 4, make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all the earth. Make a loud noise and rejoice and sing praise. Now, brothers and sisters, if we know that there is victory in the Lord, that He has won the victory, He has saved us, salvation is secure by Him, then what's the problem? Why should we not want to come? Why should we not want to sing His praise? He is worthy of it, isn't He? Amen. Now, some people are not convinced of what the Lord has done. I'd like for her to turn to Ephesians chapter 1. I love Ephesians. I love reading it. In Ephesians chapter 1, verse 4, is according to he hath chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world. Is that true? Well, yes, it's in the Bible. It's true. According as He hath chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love. How can that be? How can we be holy and without blame? It's through the shed blood of our Lord. He came to this earth and bled and died upon that cross and put our sins as far as the east is from the west. And He did that so we could be holy without blame before Him in love. And what a love that took to love somebody such a vile sinner as me. In verse 5, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to Himself according to the good pleasure of His will. To the praise of the glory of His grace, wherein He hath made us acceptable in the beloved. And that goes hand in hand with, you know, making us holy without blame. He made us acceptable to God. You know, our sin nature, our stinking sins that we commit every single day, this horrible nature that we have, you know, it's enmity with God. But the Lord came because He loved us and He died for us and He put all that away. And He set the record straight so we are acceptable in the beloved. You know, sometimes that's hard to take in when somebody is touched and tendered by God. Somebody realizes their depraved nature. Somebody, when they realize what a sinner they are and what a wretch we are, that God would do that, would make us acceptable in the beloved. So like I said, praise the Lord. You should understand, if we understand this, then we should have no problem wanting to be here. Wanting to praise His name. Because, amen, He is worthy of it. It's amazing. You know that song we say, Amazing Grace. Well, the reason that grace is amazing, there's grace at all. That's the amazing part. That grace has been bestowed upon me. On me. I mean, all the stuff that I've done in my life, all the things I know I am. And the Apostle Paul said that he was the chief of sinners. You know, sometimes I feel that way when I think, you know, when I'm thinking about the good old patriarchs of old and the outstanding members that we've had here and people that I've looked up to. I don't feel like I should be grouped up among them, you know. I don't feel that I should be labeled that sainthood or whatever. I mean, that saint. But what I've heard before is, you know, there's only two types of people. There's the saints and there's the ain'ts. And by the grace of God, we're saints. We may not feel like it, but that's the work the Lord had done. It's not anything that we've done at all. Excuse me. But we should want to be here. We should want to come and praise his name. And like I said, that phrase, make a joyful noise. Now you can find that in Psalm 66, Psalm 100, Psalm 98, Psalm 95. I mean, there's probably more in there. But that, make a joyful noise. I know I've heard the excuse. Well, I just have a terrible voice. I can't carry a tune for nothing. It didn't say, sing with your beautiful voice unto the Lord. It said, make a joyful noise. It doesn't matter. If you have the right mindset, if your heart is prepared, if your mind is prepared, and you're here to worship your Lord and Savior, it doesn't matter what it sounds like when it comes out. It's going to be sweet to the Lord. It'll be acceptable praise. And that's how we should be. We should be wanting to praise our Lord. And one of the reasons we sing the praises to the Lord when we come is that's our part of that worship service. That's our time to participate in that worship service. We sing these words. And I'm so thankful that the Lord has blessed good men to pin down these such beautiful words that describe our Lord, that describe our salvation. We thank God for allowing these men to pin these words down, and especially for being able to pin these words. You know, it says, in the beginning was God, and the Word was with God. That Word is our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, because he is the Word that was made flesh and dwelt among us. Excuse me. But we should be wanting to come together. You know, sometimes we can get distant. Sometimes we can pull back. Sometimes we can go away from the Lord. And that's a dangerous time to be. When you're at that state, well, let's put it this way. When you go without a meal or something like that, we feel hungry. But the more you leave off food, the hungrier you're going to get. I wish it were the case with the Word of God. The more you leave it off, the easier and easier it's going to be not to pick it back up. Another good phrase I heard from Elder Sonny Piles, he says, a church member is kind of like an engine. It starts skipping before it quits. And that's true. Like I said, it's easier and easier to leave it off. But that's why we should be reading. That's why we should be preparing our hearts. Not only just for the worship service on Sunday morning or Wednesday night or any time we meet together, but every day. We need that protection. We need to put on that whole armor of God every single day. Because we are under attack every day. Like I said before, the Lord told us that we're going to have tribulations. In this world, you should have tribulations. But like we said earlier, it's okay. Be of good cheer. Because God has overcome the world. He is our strong and mighty tower that we have to hold on to. But we need to prepare. We need to pray. Pray for wisdom. Pray for guidance. Help me, Lord, to prepare my heart. Before I read this word, before I enter into the worship building, before I come to church, Lord, help me to receive the word that thou art going to bless. And I tell you, I can tell you now from experience that standing before God's people, sometimes it's scary. Not just to talk in front of people. You can talk in front of people all day. That's neither here nor there. But to give instruction, to give something that hopefully is edifying to you, that I hope and pray is of the Lord. I hope and pray that God is granting this. Because if it's just me up here babbling, I need to sit down. But that's why we should prepare ourselves. Because I believe that if all the members of the church building will prepare their hearts and come and have the mindset of wanting to worship, then when we'll sing those songs, we'll mean that praise. And it'll be felt. And the presence of the Lord, when it's felt, boy, it's real easy to get up here and wanting to spread that good news of the gospel. I appreciate everyone being here this morning. I really do. I really appreciate it. But one final thought, I'd like to turn to 2 Timothy 3 and 6. I mean, excuse me, 3 and 16. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. Like we were talking about reading the Word, how important it is for reading the Word. Well, this verse in 2 Timothy 3, verse 16, all Scripture is given by the inspiration of God, and it is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. And verse 17, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Brothers and sisters, there's a reason that God moved the men of old to pin these words down. There's a reason we have a written word. Now, God could have just did what he did and not told us about it. And we would just never know. But he chose to tell us about it. He chose to write his word down. And this verse, it says, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. That means it doesn't matter who the penman was, the author is the Lord. All Scripture is given of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, and instruction in righteousness. Amen. This whole word, anything you're going through, the Lord can bless you through it. The Lord can bless you to find something in this Bible, something in his word that'll help you through that time. And I love verse 17, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. We have no good as of ourselves. There's no good. Anything that's good is because it's a blessing from God. So if we don't have any good, how in the world are we supposed to do good works? God has to bless that. And it says, through all the Scripture, you know, for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, it's here. It's all here. It's a one-stop shop, if you will. That the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. So that's how we can conduct ourselves in a holy way. That's how we can be of one accord when we meet together. But brothers and sisters, we need to have that preparation. We need to be reading more. We need to be studying this word meditating upon it, praying to God more, having more of a communion with God. It'll make our days better, make your life better. I'm not saying it's all going to be rainbows. The Lord said, in this world you shall have tribulations. Once again, we know this. But he didn't stop there. And amen. I thank God that he didn't. But be of good cheer, for he's overcome the world. And he's given us everything we need. He's given us the Holy Spirit that witnesses to us. He's given us his word. He's given us his word for our lives. So brothers and sisters, it doesn't matter what you're going through. And I'm not trying to belittle anything that anybody's going through. But whatever you're going through, or you know a friend who's going through, someone that you're dealing with, they're going through some really tough times, really try. The answer's here. We need to pray. Dear Lord, please help me. Help them. You know, you could be praying for someone else, and they could receive that blessing. Lord could grant it to them. Lord could open their eyes. Whatever it might be. There's nothing too big or too small for God. But that's the reason, I believe. Now, if you disagree, well, you know, we'll just agree to disagree on that. But I believe that there's a reason we should be preparing our minds, preparing our hearts, each and every time we come to this house. And each and every time we open the book to read. Always be prayerful. Let's try in the upcoming week, let's try to put God first. I know I need help with that as well. I'm not trying to point any fingers here. If anything, I'm pointing them at me. Let's all try to do that. Let's all try to put God first. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. Let's put a priority upon reading. Let's put a priority upon seeking the Lord's help each and every day. And again, I thank you so much for your kind attention. And I thank you for your prayers. And I really appreciate it. I hope and pray that you'll get something from this. It's been on my mind since the last time I filled in for Dad. And we're talking about the full soul. And it's something that hasn't left me. It's wanting to be prepared. You know, the Boy Scouts has that motto, always be prepared. Well, as a child of God and a soldier of the cross, we should always be prepared. And that's the best way we can do by reading more of the Word. Thank you so much.